Welcome to the King James Bible Seminary. My name is Myron Boffman, and I'll be your instructor today in the Word of the Lord. We are in systematic theology, and the title of our section here in systematic theology is Christology, the study of Christ. Today, we're going to continue our study of His deity, and we're going to take a look at the names of Christ. We're going to just cover four this time. I think there's a lot more. Matter of fact, I know there's more than that, than just four, but we're going to take the time to cover the ones that we have time to cover. The Bible memory verse is John chapter 8. And verse 24. Quote, and I said, therefore, this is Jesus speaking, I said, therefore, unto you, that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. John chapter 8, verse 24. Okay, that's a really important verse, and we're going to cover that in the third name of Jesus. Now, we've covered the titles of Christ, and some of the titles are used as names for Jesus. Such as the title Christ, the Messiah. That is used interchangeably, not just as a title, but as part of his name, Jesus Christ. All right, the first name of Jesus we're going to consider is the name of God, just God. Let's start with Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Now, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 predicts the incarnation of Christ. In other words, Isaiah lived centuries before the birth of Christ, and he made a prediction through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that God would be in the flesh. The incarnation is predicted. Isaiah 9:6, quote, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, end quote. Now, there are Jewish interpreters who try to say that this actually applies to a king, not the Messiah, an Old Testament king, but I don't think there was an Old Testament king ever who could have been called the Everlasting Father, the Mighty God. So, I don't think they have much to stand on in that regard. This prediction, Isaiah 9:6, is reinforced by Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, which says, if you're following along in your Bible, just back up a little bit. Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 7:14, and yes, the word does mean virgin, even though they try to make it into young woman, a young unmarried woman. Now in Israel, if the woman was pregnant and unmarried, that would be grounds for being stoned to death. So, yes, she was a virgin. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. So there's a particular name that we're going to be looking for in the incarnation, the son that was predicted, unto us the son is given. Now Matthew in his Gospel, chapter 1, verses 21 through 23, flip over to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 1, and this will be concerning the coming Messiah, the one who will be the Savior. Matthew explains the Isaiah verses with a quote. Let's take a look. Quote, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Because he shall save his people from their sins. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, the one that we just read, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which, being interpreted, is God with us. End quote. So the Messiah, promised in the Old Testament, was predicted to be God with us. So if that is not the incarnation, I'm not sure what that would be. The Son born is God with us. So he is the Son of God. Jesus being God with us has been proven many times over and over again during his earthly ministry, by his words, by his miracles, by his death and resurrection, and his ascension. So, he proved his deity without doubt, so, because the record is true. There's more than one eyewitness to this. The New Testament bears witness. Now, according to the Granville Sharp rule of Greek grammar, Titus chapter 2, verse 13, Titus chapter 2, verse 13, and 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Directly refer to Jesus Christ as God. This is a Greek grammar rule. And let me read it to you. When the copulative kai, K-A-I, let me just translate that. When the word and, our coordinated conjunction and in English, connects two nouns, they cannot be proper nouns, they cannot be names. Of the same case, if the article in other words, the word the, a exact particular adjective, or any of its cases precedes the first of the said nouns or participles and is not repeated before the second noun or participle, the latter always relates to the same person that is expressed or described by the first noun or participle. It denotes a further description of the first named person. And I read that from a manual of the Greek New Testament by Dana and Mantley, page 147. So, let's just look briefly at the first example here so we understand what we're talking about, hopefully. The first phrase here, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, end quote. Of interest here in this phrase is the words, the great God, there's the, and then we got some descriptive things here, the great God, and, there's your coordinating conjunction, our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's how that reads. The rule means that our Savior, Jesus Christ, and God are the same person. Now, there's some newer translations besides King James actually have this translated correctly. The New American Standard Bible is pretty clear. It says, quote, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. So, yes, the New Testament does say that Jesus Christ is God. Number two, the first name is God, the second is Jesus. Now, the Old Testament form of this name is Joshua. Now, please remember the J sound is not in the Hebrew, but only the English. The name Jesus means Jehovah Savior, or Almighty God Savior. The name Jehovah didn't really exist until the English translation came along at the birth of the Reformation. Thus the claim by the Jehovah's Witness cult that Jehovah, the word Jehovah, is God's eternal name is, of course, a false claim. It is this name, the name of Jesus, that is above every name and the only name in which we can be saved. We pray to Jesus Christ, and through Jesus Christ, we sing His praises and offer our adoration. This is a particular name. Now, there are many who say they believe in God, speak of God, do things for God, but when it comes to Jesus, things are different. You see, often Jews, Muslims, and politicians have no problem talking about God, but never, if ever, bring the name of Jesus up. Nor is He ever referred to as God. That's in general. This leaves the question open as to whom are they referring to as God. Now, concepts of God are quite different. For instance, the God of Muhammad is a different God than that of the Jews, and the Jews have a different concept of God than Christians do. So, God, if mentioned at all in today's world, is quite vague and quite left undefined. The same is true of Jesus Christ also. Some imagine a Jesus that is different than the biblical Jesus. Some imagine Him to be just like themselves and approving of all their thoughts and ways, except on rare occasions when even they have to admit that they have done something wrong. Now, this all ignores the fact that neither Jesus nor the New Testament voids any of the moral commandments that are found in the Old Testament. Christ led a strictly pure, holy life, and all Christians who are really Christians endeavor to do the same. His name, like His life, was impeccable. The name, Jesus, tells of His purpose, which was and is to save. The third name that refers to Jesus the deity of Christ is I Am, capital I, capital A, capital M, I Am. This is the name of God that was given to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. That's an important passage, so let me read it to you. Exodus chapter 3, 13 through 15, most of you are familiar with. Quote, "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say unto me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, that is Moses, thus shalt thou say, excuse me, that's God still speaking, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations." The name of God was used by Jesus Christ in regard to himself. Jesus Christ, in other words, used this very same name referring to himself. Let's see here. See if we can prove that. Now, when he spoke to the woman at the well, if you remember that, he made mention of that. Let's see. John chapter 4, verse 25. "Now the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called the Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he." He plainly stated that he was the great I Am to the Sanhedrin also in John chapter 8, verses 56 through 59. Listen carefully to what he says. Quote, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by." End quote. So, Jesus, before the Sanhedrin, that would be the Jewish leaders of the temple, used the name I Am for himself. Now they understood that, and so they were going to stone him. Now, he was not stoned because he was not going to die of a stoning. He was to die only by the predicted cross. Psalm 22, Isaiah chapter 53. Lastly, we will look briefly at the incident of his arrest in the garden. John chapter 18, verse 4 through 8. Here Jesus uses the name I Am in regard to himself. Quote, "Jesus therefore, knowing all things, that should come upon him went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. We'll stop there. Thus we know by Christ's own testimony that he was and is God. He was not lying when he said, I am he. This is critically important and probably the main part of this lesson. Because of what he said. Quote, I, that is Jesus, said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins, end quote. John chapter 8, verse 24. In other words, you cannot be saved if you don't believe Jesus is God. Jesus is God in the flesh. There are blind men who proclaim that Jesus never claimed to be God and that the Bible never says that Jesus is God, but we see for ourselves that he is who he says he is, the great I am. Now, this doesn't say much for those religions and those denominations that deny the deity of Christ. They have no real salvation. They have nothing to offer. Because if you do not believe he is God, you shall die in your sins. That is exactly what Jesus Christ said. Fourth name, Alpha and Omega. We get this phrase from the Old Testament. Quote, Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last. And beside me there is no God. That's Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6. I am the first and I am the last. Beside me there is no God. There is no other. We see this also found in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 4. And let's see, that says, Isaiah chapter 41, verse 4, quote, Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first and the last, I am he. Amazingly, Jesus Christ uses these same terms about himself. Look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. Revelation 1, 8 says, quote, I am, this is Jesus speaking, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. The Almighty? This is Jesus Christ talking about himself. The Almighty? Now, how does one say that Jesus is not described as God in the Bible after reading this? We have some people that are in the state of denial. or it could be just a case of blindness. And when I, that is the Apostle John, saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me. We're still in Revelation chapter 1. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, "Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore." Amen. "And have the keys of hell and of death." End quote. Revelation chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. So we have him being the first and the last. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the complete beginning and ending. There is nothing missing out of him. He is complete God. He is the first cause. Here we not only have the terms of deity given to Christ by Christ, but also what is described here is divine authority. Authority of life and death, heaven or hell. What you believe about him determines which place you will end up, heaven or hell. Again, if you don't believe that he is God, you will die in your sins. John chapter 8, verse 24. Now this will bring our lesson to a close. And we pray that you will take these words to heart, because they're important concerning Jesus Christ and who he really is. As we have stated, it is important to get this right. Some theology classes start off with a study of the testimony of nature, or a philosophical study of the existence of God. But like I said, we will put Christ first in our theological studies, with the hopes that having a proper understanding of who he is and what he has done and continues to do will straighten out our thoughts, lives, and change futures. And with that, we will close with a word of prayer. Let's bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for your great love, a love so great that you sent your only begotten Son for us, for our benefit, for our salvation, for our eternal destiny, for our eternal security. We thank thee for your blessings throughout each day. We thank thee, Holy Father, for Jesus Christ being God, being truly God and truly man. Pray now that you'll cause us to rely upon this very fact each day. Thank thee for the Holy Spirit, for his instruction, for the giving of thy word. We thank thee that it is without error, and we can trust it. Pray now that we will take this message with us and testify of your greatness. And may we praise thee properly because of it, and serve thee properly. And we ask now that you forgive us of our failures in this regard, and be with us throughout the day and the coming days, that we might be a good testimony of these things. For it is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.